Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
No need to rock the boat when we stick together. Side by side.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello, hello! Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is April 25th, 2022. And it is 1903 UTC. It was 1901 UTC. Well, 1900 UTC when I hit send on my last email. But I was pouring some hot water. Because I was making some gingemay. So good. You can join and to the chat and hang out with people in a non-radio room in comm. I'll tell you how to do that in a little bit with a nice little pre-recorded, but I wanted to jump in first and check it out and see who was here. And sure enough, the cool people like the Damon and Jeff and X1 and Ratsu are all in the house. So howdy, howdy. If Claudio M's not here, don't worry. He's usually around. All right. And if you'd like to join and chat during the show, you can do that while we're doing it live. All you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org, and once you're there, go ahead and launch comm. If you don't have an account yet, all you need to do is SSH over as new, N-E-W, at sdf.org, and you'll be able to sign up for an account. Once you sign up for an account, then you SSH over, you launch comm, that's C-O-M, you press enter, you press G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and then that will connect you to the Anon Radio Room, where you get to hang out with cool people like Stug and Claudio M and Ratsu and X1 and Jazzmaz, if he's listening, and all sorts of cool people. So definitely go ahead and do that. And Stug and everyone else. There's so many different people that hang out in comm. You can definitely enjoy some time with us. All right. Well, it is news to me, and that means that, well, we start the way we almost always start.
World news.
And, of course, it wouldn't be news to me without some death. All right, let's start off with a horrific way to die. An explosion at an illegal refinery in southern Nigeria kills over 100 people. The death toll from an explosion at an illegal refinery in southern Nigeria has risen to over 100 after more people died from their injuries. The blast occurred late Friday at the illegal site between the southern oil states of Rivers and Imo, police said. The death toll is now 110 from 80 as more people have succumbed to their injuries, said Ifeanyi Naji of the National Emergency Management Agency, or NEMA. Who heads NEMA operations in the area, said dozens of people with severe burns are still in the hospital. Earlier Sunday, he said at least 80 had been killed, but that more could die of their injuries. We learned many bodies are in nearby bushes and forests as some illegal operators and their patrons scamper to safety. Burnout vehicles and jerry cans used to scoop up stolen crude and petroleum products littered the scene of the carnage. Police confirmed the explosion happened late Friday at the site of an illegal refinery, but didn't provide figures on how many died. Idris Musa, the head of the state-run National Oil Spills Detection and Response Agency, said an investigation was underway. He said the explosion claimed several lives, especially those engaged in illegal oil refining and bunkering. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari on Sunday described the incident as a catastrophe and national disaster. The sponsors of the illegal refinery must all be caught and made to face justice. Nigerian leader also ordered the security and intelligence agencies to intensify the clampdown on illegal refineries in the country. X1. It's amazing. The refinement process for oil is so dangerous. It just boggles my mind that that people would be doing it illegally. And then On top of that, even when it's heavily regulated, I am from a town called Palacios, Texas. And up the road is a place called Formosa, which is a big oil refinery. And they have these, the big towers, they call them crackers, because you heat up the oil really, really hot. And they go up this big-ass column, and along the way, it different levels of the vaporized oil, as it condenses back down, it different hydrocarbons come out. And so, I dated a girl for a long time, and one of her her brother-in-law was a safety inspector, and he was up on the he was up there on the tower checking a safety valve when the thing exploded, and he got burned really bad. He was all messed up, but he lived. And I just can't imagine 100, or I guess there were 80 dead initially, 110 now. So I can't imagine 30 people all burned up. Anyway, sorry, that was a bit longer on that story, but, X1 has a way of fractional distillation. That's why that makes much more sense. Fractional distillation and continuous still. Rectified until it blows. Thanks, X1. So, that was a pretty sad story. You know, those people were running that. Well, this is even more, this is additionally heartbreaking. Shanghai is still locked down. People are just starving to death in their houses. Green fences have gone up overnight and baffled lockdown residents. Authorities battling the latest COVID outbreak have installed fences to restrict the population's movement. Green barriers have appeared without warning outside buildings where those inside are forbidden from leaving. One resident told the BBC a green fence appeared inside his locked-up compound 3 days ago without any explanation. For weeks, Shanghai's 25 million-strong population has been shut in their homes while officials try to contain the city's worst surge to date. Images of workers in hazmat suits sealing entrances to city housing blocks and closing off streets with green fencing have spread in recent days on Chinese social media. Many of the fences, which are around 2 meters tall, were installed around buildings designated as sealed areas, where at least one person has tested positive. Everyone living inside a sealed area is forbidden from setting foot outside from their homes, whether or not they have the virus. It was not immediately clear why officials began constructing the fences. A notice dated April 23rd from one local authority being shared online said it was imposing hard quarantine in some areas. The BBC has not been able to verify these images that are on the website if you want to check it out. But they said the main gate to this compound hasn't been able to verify it, but has spoken to a foreign national living in Shanghai who said green fencing appeared in his own residential complex 3 days ago. So it's very concerning and very confusing. The city reported 39 COVID deaths on Sunday, a record for Shanghai, an additional more than 21,000 new infections. In contrast to many other countries, China is pursuing a zero COVID strategy with the aim of eradicating the virus from the country completely. So, very troubling times. Let me see if this image is any good. Here we go. Copy image link. Paste. Fencing on house. Alright. So anyway, I put a link in com to some workers who were putting up a blue fence, but they were essentially just fencing in the residents who lived in this building. It's at sdf.org/l/m7. That's Lima/Mike7. Alright, well, let's keep on moving. We don't have a whole lot of time, and there's lots more tragedies to get to. New Ebola outbreak in DR Congo. Yep, that's right, it's back. A new case of Ebola hemorrhagic fever has been confirmed in the Northwestern Democratic Republic of Congo. The case was detected in a 31-year-old male in Mbandaka City, the capital of Congo's Equator province. The World Health Organization confirmed this in a statement on Saturday, saying that the patient's symptoms began on April 5th, but he didn't seek treatment for more than a week. He was admitted to an Ebola treatment center on April 21st and died later that day. Time is not on our side. The positive news is that health authorities in the Democratic Republic of Congo have more experience than anyone else in the world at controlling Ebola outbreaks. Over 100 people came into contact with the new case and are closely being monitored for symptoms, and vaccinations are expected in the next few days. This is a third outbreak in Congo's Equator province since 2018. Previous outbreaks in the province were in 2020 and 2018, with 130 and 54 recorded cases, respectively. Stug pointing out, time for the oldies to get going with Ebola. What else is next? Smallpox. It's true. We might see some. And if you're in France or in the general region, you'll already know this, but French elections have finished yesterday, and Macron defeats Le Pen and vows to unite divided France. Hey, Jeff, welcome. He won by 58.55% to 41.45%, a greater margin than expected. The centrist leader told jubilant supporters at the foot of the Eiffel Tower that now the election was over, he would be a president for all. He is the first sitting president in 20 years to be reelected. And despite her loss, Miss Le Pen, age 53, said her significant vote share still marked a victory. Their ideas her national rally represented had reached new heights, she told her supporters, but far-right rival Eric Zimmer pointed out that she had ultimately failed, just like her father. It's the eighth time the Le Pen name has been hit by defeat. So, that is the bit of news there. Oh my gosh, I don't know if you've heard him, but...
Get the news over with, I want to hear the music.
But... It's not quite time for tech news, but we do have some tech news to talk about. First, here's a piece of good news. It's the month of Ramadan right now, so there's a lot of fasting going on. I'm drinking tea, so clearly I'm not fasting. But, it's a tea day. The month of Ramadan's coming to an end soon, And so, as is kind of like a tradition, the Egyptian judiciary has ordered the release of 41 political prisoners, some of whom have been in pre-trial detention for years. An Egyptian member of parliament, Mohamed Sadat, revealed this on Sunday. The MPs promised on Facebook more releases, referring to presidential pardons, traditionally granted to hundreds of prisoners for the end of Muslim fasting month of Ramadan in early May. Among those released on Sunday was Walid Shawki, one of the founders of the April 6th movement, which spearheaded the 2011 revolution that toppled President Hosni Mubarak. Mr. Shawki had been on a hunger strike since February to protest against his 3 years of preventative detention, a regime legally limited to 2 years. However, in a technique frequently used by judges, he was declared eligible for release at that point only to be immediately charged with other offenses. The journalist Mohamed Salah suffered the same fate and was also charged with false information and terrorism. And they go on to list several other political prisoners. This week, four comedians from Upper Egypt were arrested on charges of false information and terrorism after a song denouncing price rises was widely shared online. So Egypt is far from a bastion of free speech or a place you want to be, but... at least 41 prisoners were freed, and traditionally there's 100 or so, so that's good. All right, well, it's time to play a song before we get into the cool stuff. There's a lot of interesting and kind of strange stories that I think you'll like. But before we do that, it's raining, and it's kind of gross out here today in Austin, Texas. So I've got a song here about rain. Are you ready? I'm not ready, apparently. Here it is. Oh, it's so long. It's like 5 minutes long. Sometimes, it just gets annoying because things are long. Anyway, this is Bad Religion, allegedly, called Only Rain. It's kind of loud. Here you go.
Counterpart in the magic art is manufacturing Judgment Day. Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF, well, that's powered by you, the people who listen and participate and do stuff here. So thank you so much for being here and hanging out. Looks like, sad news, Ratsu's been having trouble connecting. And so that's no fun. I wonder what's going on there. VLC and MPG123, MPlayer, nothing works. Nmap says port is filtered. So not sure what that entirely means. If anybody has an idea, let Ratsu know. All right. Well, let's get into, first, one more mass death story to let you know about. Tribal clashes between Arabs and non-Arabs in Sudan's war-ravaged Darfur region Sunday killed 168 people, a local aid group said, one of the deadliest bouts of violence in the country in recent years. The fighting in West Darfur province comes as Sudan has been plunged in turmoil since a coup last year. The takeover upended the country's transition to democracy after a popular uprising forced the removal of longtime autocrat Omar al-Bashir in April of 2019. So, that's going on over there. All right, let's talk about it. First, Nissan signals the end of the road for Datsun cars. Oh no.
Resistance is futile.
Car maker Nissan, or Nissan, depending on where you're from, is to stop producing vehicles under the Datsun name, which has more than a century-long history. It was one of the brands that helped Japanese car makers become established globally after the Second World War. Despite selling millions of cars around the world, the Datsun name was phased out in the 1980s. The company revived the brand 3 decades later, describing the new range of vehicles as an important part of Nissan's DNA. On Monday, Nissan spokesperson Azusa Momose told the BBC that the firm will continue to sell its stock of Datsun cars and provide after-sales service to their owners. We can reassure all existing and future Datsun owners that customer satisfaction remains our priority. So if you had a Datsun or have any feeling about it, hey, it's retiring again. So in 30 or 40 years, maybe we'll see it. Who knows? And an update about the kids who kept getting that got hepatitis just randomly. They're not IV drug users or anything. An unknown strain of severe hepatitis has been identified in nearly 170 children across 11 countries in recent weeks, with at least one child dying. So, what's going on? Hepatitis is an inflammation of the liver and is generally rare in healthy children. No common exposure seems to link the patients, and the WHO ruled out international travel as a factor. They say there's no link to paracetamol or Tylenol overdoses, which can cause liver failure. Any link to COVID vaccines has been ruled out because most of the children aren't old enough to be jabbed. The leading theory is adenoviruses, common viruses that cause a range of sicknesses like colds, bronchitis, and diarrhea, but mostly don't lead to severe illness. They were detected in 74 of the cases. Said adenovirus was found in 75% of the patients in the UK. She said the leading hypothesis was a combination of normal adenovirus along with another factor that was making it more severe. One possibility is that young children who have spent their formative stages under COVID measures, like lockdowns and mask wearing, have not built up immunity. An unexpected increase of adenovirus cases has been recently recorded in several other countries, including Ireland and the Netherlands. So, COVID measures work well against it, particularly children regularly cleaning hands. Also said to look out for signs of jaundice. So, that's going on there. A bit nerve-wracking if you've got any kids. And some fun in Brazil. At Carnival, Bolsonaro dancer turned into a crocodile. And a bit of fun. I'll share the image in comm in a moment. Brazil's president found himself ridiculed for his COVID policies as the world-famous Carnival took place for the first time since the pandemic. During the Sao Paulo parade, a performer wearing a presidential sash transformed into a crocodile after receiving a vaccine on stage. President Jair Bolsonaro once suggested that COVID vaccine side effect could turn people into crocodiles. The team behind the show said the jab at the president was a little joke. Brazil's top samba schools took part in the carnival celebration across Sambadromes in Sao Paulo and Rio de Janeiro on Saturday night, with thousands of performers and fans dancing into the early hours on Sunday. The Rosas de Ouro school, behind the crocodile joke, performed during the second day of the Sao Paulo section, made up of the top samba schools in the state. So, it's almost time for the Dubious Goals Committee, Raleigh. 100% correct. Welcome, welcome. We're finishing up the news. We've got 5 minutes to go, and then it's the Dubious Goals Committee. If you want to see a snapshot from of the crocodile from the parade, all you need to do is go to sdf.org/L/M8. So that's like L, mate, or Lima/Mike 8, the number 8. All right. Well, is there more tech news or sciencey news?
Is it time to
You better believe it. Check this out. Some male spiders catapult away after sex to avoid death. I thought this was weird and something that was kind of fun. Hey, and Callie's just back just in time for this weird story. A team of Chinese scientists have discovered that male orb weaver spiders fling themselves away from their partners, pulling 20 g's of acceleration in order to avoid being killed and eaten. The mechanism, described for the first time in the journal Current Biology on Monday, involves the spider's first pair of legs to immediately undertake a split-second catapult action. Lead author Shi Chang Zhang of Hubei University in Wuhan told AFP he was excited to make the discovery, which required high-speed, high-resolution cameras to detect. Zhang and colleagues were studying sexual selection in the spider, which live in communal groups of up to 300 individuals. Of 155 successful matings, they found 152 ended with the male catapulting and surviving. They can mate up to 6 times with the same female, bouncing off, climbing back up using a silk safety line, and mating again. The 3 males that didn't catapult were promptly captured, killed, and consumed by their partner. Another 30 males that were prevented from catapulting by placing a fine brush behind their dorsum all met the same fate, leading the researchers to conclude catapulting is essential to avoiding sexual cannibalism. And I thought that was just incredible. While soaring through the air, the males spin around at some 175 revolutions per second. And the catapult is formed by folding the tibia metatarsus joint of their first leg pair against the female's. And when released, it exerts hydraulic pressure and causes the legs to expand. So, Claudio M. gonna have a quote for the year. And this is kind of disturbing, and it'll be the last story because we've got Dubious Goals Committee coming up. Zimbabwean youth find cheap highs in used diapers and sanitary pads. In Kuwadzana, a high-density residential suburb in the Zimbabwean capital of Harare, the day begins as early as 5 a.m. for many of the working class, from vegetable sellers to Thomas Kwandawo, last name changed on request, a 19-year-old bus conductor. For loading a 7-seater vehicle after soliciting passengers at the top of his voice at the bus stop, he gets ZWL 100, which is about 45 cents U.S. By 8 a.m., he pockets about $3, which is insufficient to buy food, and either Bronclear, a street drug mixture of cough syrup with alcohol and codeine, or Daga, marijuana. So he and his friends have resorted to a far cheaper alternative, adding water to the white residue found in used diapers and boiling it. After boiling it, it forms a grayish substance and we drink the mixture. It's semi-solid, it smells and tastes bad, but we just drink it. It helps us to get high at less cost. I need a little drink in the morning and to have energy and confidence as I attract passengers, said the teenager, who's been abusing drugs since his 3rd year in high school 6 years ago. Callie explains to police that the catapult is to avoid sexual cannibalism. Welcome, Draw, welcome. So yeah, we were going to run out of time, but I just thought that was kind of disturbing. It's not as bad as Jankum, I guess, but still pretty rough. There's a lot more news going on in the world. We just don't have enough time. Please enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. And if you don't hear it anywhere else, just know that France, a French nun, Sister Andre, is 118 and claims the title of the world's oldest person.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the dubious goals.
7, 6,